From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Monday and every day. Yes, indeed. Today is the fifth day of April, and in the studio with me is Terry. Hello. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Doing great.
You know whose birthday it is today?
Who?
It is Denise Bowles, of course, Senator Denise
yes,
Bowles. She'll
lovely.
Always be senator to me and classmate. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday to you. It is also Adam's birthday from Capital Pond, our friends Beth and Adam. We need to check
I
in with them.
Guys.
It's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Adam. And if it's your birthday today, friends, we want to say happy birthday to you, and hopefully
don't make me sing.
We should have gotten to Elvis. I've done that. I've played that before, a little Elvis. Exactly. So this weekend was a good weekend for several
yes.
folks. They got the day off, and I talked to a mom this morning. She's like, "Well, I didn't realize it. We got up, Amber. She got up early and got her kids all rounded up and ready for school. And it was a holiday today, the day after Easter.
Well, I didn't
and
know
so,
it was a holiday today.
Well, some schools it is. Some schools honor the day after Easter.
Well, they all have tummy aches from that chocolate.
All that candy and hunting, Easter egg hunting. And so it's kind of fun to hear people's stories of the weekend. And I will say I enjoyed an absolute wonderful service yesterday at the River Church. And during the kids did a program and there was a choir presentation. And it was just every element that could happened in a service. And it was incredible. It started out with a continental breakfast at 10. And so a lot of interacting and a lot of mingling, a lot of community happening, and it was so incredible. And during the worship service, I got this thing in my spirit. It was so powerful. I don't even have a chance to share this with you yet, Terry. But
I'll
it
see
was
how you are.
This is what I got, and the goodness of God, there is no expiration date. I love that. You know, when you think about the goodness and when we think about all of the stuff that is happening right now in the world, and it's easy to look at the negativity and let it really impact us and our mental health and everything else. What's next year going to look like, you know, let alone what the next week's going to look like. There's a lot in the news, and it can be, it can be very overwhelming. And so what are we focusing on? And that's just a reminder to myself and to all of us that we need to keep our eyes focused on the good things, too, and that we can make a difference. And so we talked about what we wanted to talk about this morning, and I'm going to go through some of the headlines, Terry.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to get a weather update from you.
Okay, good.
And I want us to kind of look at these news articles together and look at some of the good and what we can do with that information that we're learning. So first of all, give us the weather update for the next couple days. Could you help us out there, weatherman?
Yes, I could. Okay, so it's like chilly this morning. It was like 31, had a little frosty frost on things, got the cars warmed up. Looking for a high today about 59. Shouldn't have any precip until Thursday night, overnight. A little bit of a scattered splattered. So the next 2 days, really nice. Temperatures are looking in 59 today, 62 tomorrow. Not quite as cold tomorrow morning, about 37.
Okay.
And then mid to late 50s. For the rest of the week and in
doable.
The 30s
yeah.
in the mornings.
Yeah, a lot of people getting their yards all spiffed up and still cutting down and clearing out tree branches,
right.
I noticed as I went out and about. And a lot of people at the garden centers picking out their flowers and what they're going to put in their garden and plant and all of that. I did an act of faith this morning. I wore my sandals, I know, and my cropped pants because I still believe it's going to get here warmer weather. It's pretty chilly this morning.
You expect some April showers now. Come on.
And we do need a little bit of that rain for our farmers out in the country. So I want to share a little bit about some of the headlines. And I really appreciate Northwest Observer. If you haven't subscribed to their updates or gone to their website, I encourage you to do so. NorthwestObserver.com. They have an article right now, COVID Big Brother, OSHA as COVID Cop. Since the pandemic began, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration has been one of the strong arms of the governor's COVID-19 enforcement team. They have written rules and levied hefty fines against businesses that do not follow the COVID-19 rules as a way to bring them into compliance. For example, a Ben coffee shop was fined $26,700, three times the minimum penalty for allowing indoor dining. A Florence restaurant was also fined $17,800, two times the minimum penalty based on social media posts for allowing indoor dining. A Springfield restaurant was fined $8,900 for allowing indoor dining based on news stories and social media posts. However, these fines are small compared to the ones levied against the multi-location athletic facility in Salem. The first fine in November was $90,000, and the most recent one was assessed in January for an additional $126,749. The fines were for operating when the governor's orders were to be closed. OSHA has been levying these penalties under a temporary rule issued in November 2020. However, temporary rules cannot remain in effect longer than 180 days, and they cannot be extended. The temporary rules expire May 4, 2021. The only option for the agency is to issue the guidelines under a permanent rule. So in January, OSHA issued the permanent rule for public input. The permanent rule is 126 pages long and is much more expansive than the rules currently in place. It is unclear what the new fines will be for not following the existing rules being extended and the new ones being added. For example, in Oregon Administrative Rule 437-001-0744, under COVID-19 vaccination for workers, it states, here we go.
Oh, here we go.
The employer must cooperate by making its employees an appropriate space available at no cost to the workers whenever a local public health agency or Oregon Health Authority indicate COVID-19 vaccination within the workplace is necessary.
Mm-mm-mm.
What triggers a local public health agency or Oregon Health Authority to deem that a COVID-19 vaccination at the workplace is necessary? Here's another one. C. Unless the local public health agency or Oregon Health Authority directs otherwise, employers need not require employees to accept the vaccination. If employees who are offered the vaccine decline to be vaccinated, the employer must document that decline. Oh, my goodness. Why would an employer be documenting an employee's personal health choice? Is this a violation of the 1996 Federal Health Insurance Portability and Accountability, which is also known as HIPAA? Also, what about businesses that have employees that are under the age of 18? Who signed the consent form to vaccinate or not to vaccinate? No, Oregon Health Authority will provide model declining forms for use by employers in documenting such decline. It is the considered opinion of both the Oregon Health Authority and Oregon OSHA that all individuals should accept vaccination unless it's medically contraindicated. Contraindicated is a specific situation in which a drug could not be used because it may be harmful to the person. What will be on OSHA approved form? What if the employee refuses to provide the employer with information required on such forms, such as address, phone number, etc.? How will the employer know if the employee is medically contraindicated? Again, another possible HIPAA violation. Question mark. OSHA has stated that they do not intend these rules to be permanent and perpetuity. I can't even say that word.
Oh,
perpetuity. That's what it is. And that the rules will end when the governor's state of emergency ends. The permanent OSHA rules will take effect on or before May 4th. The Oregon Health Authority vaccine distribution chart has phase two eligibility. All people who are 16 and older are eligible beginning May 1st. When Governor Brown, already on her sixth executive order extension for COVID-19 state of emergency, which lasts until April 25th, a seventh extension would seem inevitable based on the OSHA rule timeline and vaccine rollout dates. A seventh extension of the governor's emergency declaration would last until the end of June. The public comment period rules have ended on the rules have ended. So for now, all businesses and Oregonians can do is sit and wait and see what OSHA does. And anyway, here's the reality. And a nice conversation with Amber this morning. And she's involved with a lot of organizations and looking at our medical freedom and our medical rights. And you and I had this conversation this morning about a lot of people who are, in a sense, against this big push. Mm-hmm. Even the president and his wife did some vaccination shaming in their Easter message. Amber, talk to me a little bit about what I'm hearing everybody referring to it as a jab, the medical jab or whatever. And she really said it's not, it reminded me that it's not even through the experimental phases that it's what are you doing? Friends, we're in the middle of this explanation, and he's tearing apart something over here.
Sorry.
Anyway, we can totally hear
idle
it.
Hands.
We can totally hear it through the radio, which is pretty funny. So anyway, long story short is that they're talking about it as a vaccination. It has not been through all of the vaccination approved stages. It's still experimental, mm-hmm. and it's a gene therapy. All of these things.
I just don't like it. I don't like vaccination. What there's two words we deal with. One is called vaccination. What's the other one? I can't think of it. It's not inoculation.
Yeah.
But it's another word.
Yeah, inoculation, vaccination.
There's another one I'm trying to think of.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, gene therapy is what it is. But I want to play this sound bit before we get into break here. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go into, because I want to talk, it all wraps up to, again, our constitutional rights.
And our liberty.
And our liberty.
Don't
and
touch me,
and our
don't
freedoms
touch my
and
stuff.
All of that. I want to play this that came through. A friend sent this to me, and it's a nurse giving her insight I'm suspect of a few things, and I want to put my theories out here in a minute. Here, let's play this. If I can get it to...
On the anesthesia team, last night, the house nurse manager came to my department and told us that we must prepare for a COVID crisis that's going to start next week. And the hospital will be taking part of our recovery unit, anesthesia recovery unit, to house COVID patients. And that we cannot allow surgical patients' families to come visit them, which we do pre and post surgery, pre and post anesthesia. And I looked at her and I said, how do you know you're going to need our rooms, our bays? And how do you know there's going to be a crisis next week? She tilted down her glasses. She looked at me and she said, you know what's going on by now. And I said, yeah, I do. And everyone else just went, oh, here we go again, and shrugged their shoulders. Does anyone else find this really strange besides me? It's about time that this whole corrupted, stinking system is brought down. Seriously. Because I'm really hating my job right now. I can't stand this corruption anymore. Please share.
Oh, and so that was a video shared with me on Facebook. And here's a nurse who works in the surgical unit, mm-hmm. anesthesiology, and then her director is telling her, and it's a powerful video. She's like, I've had it. I'm done. How do they know there's going to be an emergency next month, next week, tomorrow? How do they know these things? Perhaps it's all a part of a bigger plan. We're going to continue the conversation after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Get your pen and paper. We're going to have some action points and things that you can do to let your voice be heard. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. On this fifth day of April, you know what starts, Terry, in 3 hours, 17 minutes, and 21 seconds. Do you know what starts?
I do not.
It's the voting for the best of the Willamette Valley presented by Rick's Custom Fencing and Decking. Yes, you can vote for your very favorite businesses here in the Willamette Valley starting in 3 hours. So excited about that.
And how long does the voting last?
It goes until the 25th of April. And you have an opportunity to vote every day for your favorite businesses. And I really encourage you to do so. And I'm excited about this. I think it's going to be a fun campaign. And Thursdays this month, we are going to feature different businesses that are have participated, part of, and have been honored in the past. And it's exciting what this has done, especially during a COVID year, what this has done for these businesses, giving them more exposure, certainly celebrating their good service to their customers. And so we're so proud to be a part of that. There are some things this month, too, that I want to talk about. April is Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month. And if you go by the Capitol, you'll see one of the trees is beautifully decorated with purple ribbons in reminder of that. And usually, and I don't know if there's a place, I have not been alerted to it, but usually they do pinwheels. A lot of times, like in Arkansas when we were there and in different states,
right.
Just a reminder. And of course, having been a part of, as a foster mom, and been a part of that system, it was something very, very important. And the ultimate, in my mind, abuse of a child is those that are lost in the womb. And on the April 17th, friends, put this on your calendar. Saturday, April 17th is going to be a Oregon Right to Life gathering and a march. Remember, generally in January is when we do marches, but with everything going on and certainly now a little warmer spring weather and the fact that the legislature, there's been a couple life bills that they've just totally not paid attention to and not even honored through the process. And so we are standing for children. We're standing for the right to life. And we encourage you to join April 17th Right to Life March at the state capitol. Then continuing to talk about our children and keeping them safe, we have the Safe School Summit coming on April 24th. We encourage you to get registered and enrolled in this. It's going to be a wonderful event. It's a one-day event, kind of like a 9-to-5 thing, and you want to get registered. ParentsRightsInEd.org. We're going to have a little more on this tomorrow. And of course, as we talk about, Terry, our constitutional rights and knowing about our Constitution and why it's important that we're educated and raise that level of awareness, because every angle has been assaulted, it seems like, of our rights, from our Second Amendment rights, our free speech rights, being censored, from our rights to guide our children through the educational process, our right not to wear a mask. Mm-hmm. All of those things have been assaulted, and we're going to continue the conversation Wednesday night in the training with Christiane Hall, Liberty First University. This will be the third week, and I encourage you, friends, if you've not attended yet, still come. Even though you've missed a couple weeks, it's all right. It's all good information. You cannot go away without one or two or three or five different elements that you're like, wow, I had no idea. I didn't realize this, how this applies to my day-to-day life. Liberty First University at the River Church, 7 p.m. on Wednesday. If you need more information, send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at kslm.news. And there's, as we move towards May and June and July, there's a lot of events that are going on. And here's something that came up as we're talking about, you know, what the Capitol is doing, what OSHA is doing, and trying to infringe on our rights and trying to make a lot of these mandates now coming down to the businesses that they've just had such a tough year, Terry. These businesses, it has been a struggle, you know, especially the restaurants, more so than maybe many of the others. And it seems like there's winners and they're picking winners and losers. And I just hate to see these people picked on so terribly.
Restaurant, and being in the restaurant business, I've never owned one, but you talk with owners enough and it's a tough business. It's, a bad night can mess you up, you know, reviews. Mm-hmm. If, you know, someone doesn't get satisfied, it's very back and forth.
Well, and just one COVID outbreak, you know, or exposure closes all down. It's just really tough. It's just been tough. And then they order all this food and they plan ahead and then they're told they're closed.
And then
what do they do with this food? And it's just been crazy.
Makes me hungry thinking about it.
There's an economic impact that's happened horribly on so many communities have been impacted by the COVID extreme. And it's like a one size fit all model that's been distributed by the governor and OSHA. And there's these small communities that have hardly even had any COVID numbers.
Right.
Not to say that there shouldn't be prevention.
Have we heard from some of them?
And all of that. And after we get through this next break, I want to read you this statement, a resolution that came out of one city here in Oregon, kind of standing up against.
Yep.
And I alluded to it on Friday, talked a little bit about it, but I actually have the resolution that I want to read because I think it's an example of things that we can do that can stand strong against the push. And now the comment time has closed for OSHA. But in Wisconsin, did you hear about this? Wisconsin, let me grab this.
Okay.
The high court in Wisconsin voided the governor's mask mandate.
What?
Yes. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So they just basically, in a 4-3 ruling, voids the February 4th face covering order currently in effect. The court found that that the governor breached a statute that limits the emergency powers to 60 days without approval of the state legislature.
Like we tried to do here.
Yeah.
Huh? We had attorneys. Didn't we have attorneys go in there and try to do that here?
Well, and it seems like every attempt we have to say she's got too much power has been thrown back out. The question here, and this was in Wisconsin, is in this case is not whether the governor acted wisely. It's whether they acted lawfully. And then they concluded that he did not, the governor of Wisconsin. So the governor is a Democrat. He declared a state of emergency in March, and the Republican-controlled legislature never extended it beyond the 60-day limit.
That's the difference. And how are we controlled?
Yes.
All Democratic?
Yep.
The courts, Democratic?
Yeah, everything is a Democrat rule, supermajority. And we can change that. We can change that, friends, by getting engaged in the process. And I want to say right now, friends, if you're not registered to vote, I know. What does my vote count? Does it matter? Yes, it does. Governor Brown got in the very first time. Governor Brown got elected the very first time by 7 votes.
It's terrible.
Yep. So your vote does count. Get registered to vote. You can get registered to vote. We got a school board election coming around the corner. Spring into action. We're going to continue the conversation after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
It's a good morning.
Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, hanging out with you on this marvelous Monday, along with Terry.
Good morning.
So we've been talking a little bit about some of the news and certainly what's happening around the nation with this big push for the vaccination, which we know is experimental, certainly people are concerned about their rights to stand up against it and say, no, I don't want that. It's not even been through. I tell people, most people, when they're such a, you just don't trust it. When there's such a momentum and such a push towards it. And here's a reminder from Chris Ann Hall's training. I picked this up. I've got my little notebook here. And it says, each of us have a natural right from God to defend life, liberty, and property. These are the three basic requirements of life, and the preservation of any one of them is completely dependent upon the preservation of the other two. And that's actually a quote from Frederick Bastiat. I think I say that right. He is one of the leaders, certainly, that the founding fathers looked to for inspiration on how to lay down this foundation, the U.S. Constitution. And Chris Ann Hall says, if we can't define what liberty is, we can't defend it. And when we talk about property and our own physical right, a part of that property is our liberty and our right to have our own, say in things. And when our liberties are stepped on and eroded, it becomes it's a conflict. Mm-hmm. Because I think we have a generation now or a couple generations who think government is their savior and their supply all, and looking to them. And the government has wanted to groom people to depend on them. And that's where this big conflict is. When you think about the last election and President Trump, and I think how he resonated with the common folks, everyday working hard, the working class, they call it, but just the everyday American, the liberty loving, leave me alone. A lot of these folks really hadn't been engaged in the political process. You know, they were, and that's what appealed about Trump is he was not a politician. Mm-hmm. He made both the left and the right upset. He made the Republicans and the Democrats upset when he won the election, but he resonated, right?
And the crazy thing about the media, it made the people that want to have less government, like we're supposed to have, look like radicals.
Yes.
You know, this republic. And so, folks, the government, we agreed to let them maintain certain small things, like the border, like keeping a military, not to everyday life, not to just write rules and laws.
And telling your employers what to do or do not with their employees, all of those kinds of things. Well, out of Baker City, Oregon was this resolution. And this is, I printed this off. I'm not sure what the date is. Maybe it's signed. Yep, it's, okay, so I'm going to read this. Resolution declaring an economic, mental health, and criminal activity crisis due to the current COVID-related state of emergency declaration and related to OSHA mandates and guidance. Whereas the Oregon Governor's Executive Order 20-03 Declaration of Emergency due to COVID-19 and all subsequent and related OSHA guidelines and present and future executive order extensions of such are arbitrary, ineffective, and draconian. And whereas we as a municipality have no legal ability to summarily flout these mandates, guidelines, and enforcements by OSHA, and therefore cannot protect any local businesses from state-directed targeting, repercussions, and penalties of such local businesses personally chooses to, and whereas we are also recognized that neither city, county, nor state government has the legal right to flout the Oregon State Constitution or the United States Constitution, and whereas we do not believe our citizens are fully capable of making their private individual healthcare and lifestyle decisions themselves. And whereas we recognize that COVID-19 is indeed a contagious virus and contagious viruses do exist in the world. And whereas science has shown over the last year that COVID-19 is overwhelmingly survivable and lockdowns do not stop the spread. And whereas all models and projections used to justify initial state emergency mandates have been proven inaccurate over the past year. And whereas our local hospital and healthcare system are not overwhelmed by COVID cases and never have been, and whereas Baker City is obliged to adopt regulations designed to promote the health, safety, and public safety and general welfare of its citizensry. Say that again three times. Mm-hmm. And whereas a majority of our local businesses directly attribute state lockdowns and OSHA guidelines as solely responsible for their inability to earn a living or preserve other rights as outlined in our state and U.S. Constitution, and therefore we believe their property is being unconstitutionally seized by government without due compensation under the auspices of inappropriately weaponized state agencies, and whereas businesses in Baker City are on the brink of permanent closure, creating a fiscal emergency in a devastated local economy, and whereas businesses in Baker City have already closed their doors permanently as a result of the governor's emergency declaration, and whereas the governor's lockdown and masking mandates are actively creating division and unrest with the increased potential of physical violence within our community as those of one opinion are encouraged by it to impose their opinions over the free will of those of another in a physical way, and we are obligated to address and prevent crime, and whereas the limited number of beds in our local county jail is resulting in an ongoing cite and release system that puts criminals straight back on the streets to further victimize our community immediately after arrest, and whereas the governor's mandates result in pitting local law enforcement against law-abiding citizens rather than criminals, which damages our community's strong relationship and our valued local law enforcement, which is a dynamic no community should have to tolerate, and whereas deliberate isolation of the ill in hospitals or the elderly left to die alone of the isolation is the cruelest of abuses and not to be accepted in any civilized society, and whereas it is a violation of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution for our government to limit how churches and citizens choose to practice their religious freedoms, which are crucial to mental health, and whereas social distancing and prolonged isolation are proven to create a number of mental health issues such as anxiety and depression, sometimes pushing individuals over the edge towards suicide as a last resort, whereas the same social distancing and prolonged isolation combined with unemployment and other stressors are increasing cases of domestic violence and abuse, whereas we believe in kindness, compassion, common sense, and our citizens' business to help promote the most fragile and susceptible in our community. And it just kind of goes on and on and on. There's still, there's 80 points. And at the bottom, so now we're in the be it resolved. Be it resolved, the city will communicate in writing with the governor's office to encourage the full opening of our city and county, recategorization of low population status, and suggesting other means necessary to give our citizens relief of these mandates. And be it resolved, the city will support upcoming legislation dependent upon its straightforward, unharmful wording, which provides reparations to businesses business owners who and their businesses have lost income without compensation, and it may be resolved that the city will support further statewide ballot initiatives, limit the duration of extended emergency powers by the governor, and it just goes on and on and on. And I am
people.
So excited. Be it
That's
resolved
amazing.
That the city recognize that Baker City are free, sovereign individuals with a constitution, representative public, not subjects or slaves, and will be recognized as such. So this is the city.
Wow.
This is the mayor of
mm-hmm.
Baker City. It would be fun
Bravo.
To get her on
Bravo.
The air. I know it's long. I think it's important. What I love about it, it has all of the grievances.
Yep.
Any city, any county should take this, I think, as an example and a template, and we should push back.
Put
I
that
think,
on the
mm-hmm.
website.
I think we need yep. to get this out on the website and get it printed and
mm-hmm.
get and hand that out, because I think this is something that we need, we the people.
Yes.
And you have a saying, I love it, about the bumblebee. What is that? The bumblebee? And
well, like you've got a bear and you've
mm-hmm.
got wasps or honeybees,
mm-hmm.
right? One little bee does nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But when that bear gets into the nest and they're all buzzing around it and there's a multitude of them, he can't defend against them. He has to run away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the people are the same way. Me, one person going up to the county or what have you is nothing. But you get us together, our voices together, there is strength in numbers with most
yes.
anything.
Yes, and when we get familiar with our constitutional rights and how
you
how
feel empowered.
We, mm-hmm, and there's safety in numbers
yes.
as well. And when we isolate, you know, you can get picked on pretty easily,
yeah,
and our mental health
yeah.
and our and what's happened to our elderly, I like what they've stated in here. And in
it's
a
so
civil,
true. They just checked them off.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're nodding our heads.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start wearing a hat with a bell. Ding,
ding,
ding, ding, ding.
Because you can't really hear
yeah.
a nod on the radio, can
right.
you? Yes. It's true. So this is, I'm encouraged by this. And I know Baker City is a small community. And certainly we can say here in Salem, so many businesses in our bigger area, in our metro areas have been affected as well. You just go downtown Portland, you know, with all the violence that has happened. And that's another story that for another day. But with the defunding and the changes in the police department in Portland, it's incredible how the crime rate has increased. I want to say about a 2,000% increase in the last year. That just doesn't make any common
Mm-mm.
sense to me. And certainly safety is one of the number one issues. Being able to provide for your family certainly is a huge issue as well. And we've just walked through so much this year. And again, I encourage people to get engaged in the process. You need to get registered to vote. Tomorrow we're going to talk a little bit about the school board and who's running for the school board in the local elections and why it's important to stay engaged in the process. Don't detach. And it's interesting, on Friday, Terry, when Ben was here with the Salem Business Journal and when Pastor Lou was here, he talked about that when there's so much noise, how we as humans, when there's so much going on, we look for ways just to totally detach, whether it's just, I'm going to go into the hills and just, you know, I'm just not going to pay attention
mm-hmm.
anymore. I'm just so over it. I'm so done. And it's almost by design. They want
That's
us
right.
to detach. They want us to not care anymore.
It's easier.
Mm-hmm. And it's called survival
mm-hmm.
is what it is. And I think it's important that we don't stay detached, that we press in and we stay engaged in the process. And I encourage you, if you hear of opportunities and events coming up, to let us know. We want to be promoting these community-wide events and encouraging you to participate in them. And of course, we have on Friday the Business Freedom Business Fellowship is going to take place at the River Church Friday. Now, it's a community event. It's not a, even though it's held at the church, it's not a Christian thing. It's a community thing, and it's standing together and really encouraging one another and having each other's back, especially our business leaders. They need some encouragement. So if you know a business that's struggling, the business owner needs encouragement. It doesn't have to be a Salem thing. If they're in Newburgh, if they're in
the sound of our voice.
Yeah, if you can hear and bring them along. Maybe you don't own a business, but they're your good friend. Bring them, you come too and hear what's going on. It's going to be an awesome opportunity for us to gather together. And just need to get a hold of the rivernw.com, get registered. And the reason why is they're going to give cheesecake out.
Ooh.
It's going to be a dessert thing, so they need to know how many people are
attending.
Why do you
always bring up food?
I know, because
you know
that's
I'm
all
hungry.
A part of it, you know.
Do I have time to talk about what's going on?
Well, I have a question
later.
For you.
Okay.
Is today, you know, talking about the weather, is it a motorcycle riding day this afternoon?
It is. There's no rain. It's kind of chilly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it won't quite hit 60 degrees, but if you dress warmly, mm-hmm. and you got your chaps on, and the sun is coming down on you, I mean, that warms you up pretty good.
How about tomorrow? Is tomorrow going to be
a little bit warmer even
tomorrow? Well, do you have anything going on that you can tell us when we come back from this at the dealership?
Let's talk about Taco Tuesday at the dealership.
Oh, now you're bringing up food. See how you are?
I'm hungry.
Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. As spring is here, we're certainly seeing events ramping up and people getting out and about. It's fun to watch as I went, through some communities, saw some estate sales and garage sales. I love this time of year. Mm-hmm. I love spring. And certainly looking out our backyard, we see all kinds of critters, coming to life and having fun. And our cat going crazy because we have an indoor cat and he thinks he needs to be outside chasing all that out there. It's kind of a fishbowl experience for him a little bit. So, and people are starting to fly and go places and things. And this was an interesting article, kind of ties into our last conversation as Delta Airlines opens up, and starting to fly. Now you can be in the middle seat at Delta. However, they've had to cancel a lot of flights because it appears a lot of their staff, they're getting vaccinated and they're having reactions.
Let me interject. Okay, so I've been flying a lot of United. Mm-hmm. It's booked. Every seat is full.
American as well, yep.
Okay, so, and what was that one you just talked about?
Delta.
So Delta, now they're choosing money over health safety, mm-hmm. according to all the spooks out mm-hmm. there that think this is crazy stuff. So that's kind of odd, isn't it? How they, we're losing money, so I guess we'll go ahead and open up that center seat.
Well, and the big thing over this weekend, too, with Delta and even American Airlines talking upset about the Georgia requirement with the election integrity and mm-hmm. some of the legislature did in Georgia. Corporations are balking at that, and they're having a say in this, and it just goes back to what J.C. Hall had said a couple weeks ago about socialism is not, there's this thought that socialism is redistribution of wealth. No, it's what it is. It's still capitalism, but it's the corporations and the few wealthy that dictate what the little folks are going to do. And again, when you think they're choosing money over mm-hmm. if it really was
Shocker.
A pandemic, but the fact it's interesting that they're requiring and really encouraging people to get these vaccinations and their staff. Now they're short staffed.
Yeah.
Because they're because they're getting they're having a reaction
they're
to
having,
it.
And that's the way it was printed. Mm-hmm. That's the way it read. Not something we're just, making up.
Yep, this is a story that was in news headlines. And it's interesting because if you go to DuckDuckGo, you can find the real stories about related to vaccination.
Google will filter you.
Yeah, but Google, you will not find it, mm-mm. friends. And it's an interesting season that we're in because we can't even get access to the information, accurate information. And if we were truly following the science, we would be able to look at all the information make the hypothesis for our own decisions and our own health. And there's a lot of things that a lot of information out there if we can find it, right?
Right.
And so friends and family, we got to rely on them. And again, I encourage people, if you know family members, coworkers, friends that have had this, and I'm calling it a jab, then they're having some effects of it. We need to
document
adverse or changes in their thinking and in their something that I think we need to monitor and stay on top of. So, we can talk about this all day, but I do have a couple questions for you, Terry.
Yeah.
You at the dealership, I know it's really been busy there. What are you doing with Tuesday nights now? Something fun?
Well, yeah. The new owners came in and they're awesome. They want to do events. They want to do stuff all the time.
We need to get them on the air.
They're cool. Mm-hmm. They really are. So this Tuesday, we're having a Taco Tuesday. The staff will be making tacos. We're going to play a movie. The Captain America,
mm-hmm.
and it's called The First Avenger, because he's riding a Harley.
That
so
makes sense.
That's for the kids,
mm-hmm.
and for the adults, there'll be an adult beverage truck there. Hey,
mm-hmm.
so that'll be fun,
mm-hmm.
and then, of course, we'll have the motorcycles on display, and there'll be someone in every department, and so this is a... it's going to start Tuesday about 5, mm-hmm. or 5 or 6. So if you come early, that's okay. Give us a chance to visit with you.
And so, where is the Salem Harley-Davidson? Where is it located?
Oh, you're going to make me get
it's
my
right
card
off
out.
Of Silverton.
Silverton Road.
Yeah, on the corner of Silverton Road.
36,
and
so.
What's the other road there?
Ward.
Ward.
Yep.
Yes. So certainly, what time does it start?
Salem Harley-Davidson.
Will there be popcorn there?
Yes.
Oh,
in fact,
good,
yep.
I'm missing
they
us going to the
rent a popcorn machine, mm-hmm. so they bought one.
Oh. Oh, fantastic.
These guys are cool. They want to do a lot of stuff a lot of the time.
Community things.
Yep,
that's
Taco
what
Tuesday,
it's all about.
Salem
yeah.
Harley-Davidson, don't forget.
So friends, there's stuff to do like almost every day of the week this week. You
yep.
could do Taco Tuesday, and then Wednesday is Chris Ann Hall, and then Friday is the Freedom Business Fellowship. I mean,
wow.
it just,
get
there's
involved,
a lot of things
get out
to
there,
get
the
involved
weather's
with.
Good.
Yes,
yeah. Ride
I
your
agree.
Harley to these events.
You know, if... do you have to ride a Harley? Can you
not.
Just come and check them out?
Well, we just had Saturday. The Easter Bunny showed up at
really?
Salem. Darn Skippy.
Hmm.
Yep. And he had eggs all over the motorcycles and kids were coming.
Really?
It was a hoot.
That sounds kind of messy to me.
Well, it was a little bit.
So it sounds like the weather's going to cooperate. What's our high temperature today?
Oh, we're looking at less than 60. Good grief.
Yeah,
what was
I'm putting
be?
You on the spot again.
Yeah,
huh?
you did. I love
yeah,
when you do that.
Yeah, you always got to have the weather ready,
for the
weatherman.
Love of Pete. Weatherman. Ex-weatherman. Well, currently it's 44. I think it's still kind of chilly out. We're only looking for a high of about 61 today. They did raise it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good. Tonight at 32, so it'll be some crusties on your car in the morning, and then tomorrow 64. Again, no precip, at least right now,
mm-hmm.
until overnight Thursday.
Well, I'm curious if people took great adventures even to the mountains, and you and I talked about getting up to the mountains. We haven't done that yet, or to
I
the coast.
I wanted to go
we
drive,
to
play
that.
In the snow a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, we got to have enough time and you know, to do that,
well,
to drive and
for
do
me,
that.
This is the season to sell. You know, you make hay when the sun shines,
uh-huh.
as they say.
Well, let me ask you this. I want to talk a little bit. We didn't really get into it. We talked about getting more into the constitutional stuff. Next Monday when you come in, can we talk a little bit more about a constitution, Carl Miller, things like that?
Absolutely, especially when it comes to when we're talking about what is a driver
mm-hmm.
versus a traveler.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind, I'll throw out a little
yeah.
segue here.
Yeah, say
okay.
that real quick.
Okay, what happened is when people started traveling, as they were getting cars and stuff, then other people started to have taxi cabs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were charging, they were doing it for commercial. Well, the government said, hey, this is public roads. We don't want you jamming up our public roads with your money-making machine.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to regulate you, tax you, register you, make you carry insurance. It was for the people that were making money on a public road.
Mm.
That's how drivers license. That was a driver.
Oh.
Me and you were not drivers. We're travelers.
Right.
By donkey, by go-kart, by car, by spaceship, we're traveling. So we don't even need a driver's license.
Oh, so we have
we're
a constitutional
drivers.
Right
you
to travel.
And unencumbered.
It didn't define which method to
That's
travel.
That's right, because it's going to change over the years.
Well, and I just participated in a discussion with some friends back in South Dakota about search, you know, stopping people along the highway. So let's put this on for next Monday
Boy,
to talk
I could
about
go
that.
On
and
I
let's,
love it.
Let's
yes.
open up the phone
this
lines
hour
next
just
week. It goes
blew
so
past.
Fast, yes. And when we have a lot of headlines through the weekend,
That's
that,
right.
that to get through that, really has something to
so
do with it.
So Taco Tuesday, I believe it's 5 or 6
mm-hmm.
o'clock there at Salem. Throw mm-hmm. that out there one more time.
Yep.
Love
then,
those guys.
And then we have Wednesday, we have the training with Chris Ann Hall,
yeah,
the Liberty
awesome.
First University, and then Friday, the Business Fellowship. Freedom
we'll come up with
Business
something for
Fellowship.
Thursday.
And we got to think of something
Wednesday.
Fun Thursday. And
what is
Wednesday is the
Steak
Liberty First
oh,
University.
Oh, Thursday.
Yep.
Thursday. Okay.
And you know what tonight is?
Tonight's steak night.
It's steak night and line dancing.
And honky tonk.
Yeah, we could maybe do that tonight.
I'm getting
right.
hungry again.
I know. More food conversation. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Mondays are fun as we
it
unpack
is.
From the weekend
it
and
is.
Kind of walk through some of these headlines. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have Josh in the studio again, Suzanne Gallagher, and we're going to be talking about our schools, elections coming up, school boards, Safe School Summit. And it's going to be a good week this week. We're hoping to get some folks, the medical freedom folks, in the studio as well. And maybe
call
the
in.
Salem Chamber of Commerce, too, yes.
Well, that'd be nice.
And we'll open up the phone lines
oh,
to take your interaction. I know. We're
gotta
wrapping
go,
up for today. Thank you,
it.
Terry, for joining us this
of
morning.
Course,
always
I
fun to
it.
Hang out with you in the studio and in life. Thank you so much.
Aw, of course.
Have a great day. Friends, thank you for tuning in this morning. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're glad to have you as our listeners and our friends. I hope you have a wonderful day. God bless you, and God bless the USA.
There ain't no doubt.